Thought for today. I like pears. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. I like pears. Now, what is it about a pear that I like? Well, pears taste good. They're juicy. They're firm. And they are very satisfying to the body. The body likes to have pears because there's a fruity quality about it, you know, and a good quality about it. So, the more fruit, the doctors tell us that we should have, scientists tell us, rather, that we should have 5 fruits a day. We should eat 5 different fruits a day. And anyone who can eat 5 different fruits a day is the most amazing person.
Yes.
And why we should eat 5 different fruits a day is because there are different things and different fruits that we should eat. Now, it's not the fruit, the pulp, the bulk that we should eat, but it's the content. Now, what is in fruit? Well, all sorts of good stuff. I have no idea. And all these things that are in fruit that we should eat is available in... In our thoughts. Okay, right, in our thoughts. It's available in our thoughts. It's available in our physical body. Our physical body, from the very beginning, as little children, produced all of the vitamins, minerals, and different things that we needed. We really didn't need anything from the outer. You say, well, that's left over from when we were being born. We had it from our mother, and we had all those things in our body. Well, yes, but it's not only left over, it is the prescription is refilled continuously by our body as a normal thing. And because we choose to eat certain foods, we cause our body to forget how to produce those vitamins in our body, and then our body then becomes dependent on exterior vitamins rather than interior vitamins. Now, can we ever go back and put ourselves in the position where we include the interior vitamins as a working situation? Can we ever get our pancreas and our thyroid and our
that gland
to function properly? Yes, we can. And why don't we do it? Because we allow ourselves to do other things. Now, one of the amazing things that we do is that we build up a delight in things that are not delightful for us. We think, oh, chocolate cake with chocolate ice cream and chocolate frosting, oh, that's so good and so wonderful. Well, is it? Now, would we eat chocolate cake and chocolate frosting normally? Well, maybe we might like the sugar aspect of it, you know. But as far as chocolate goes and as far as the cake goes and as far as all those other things, we wouldn't normally eat it. But we eat it because we're training ourselves to eat it. Now, if you're a good boy, I'll give you a piece of chocolate cake after you finish your dinner. You know, now eat your dinner. That's what the dessert is all about. Dessert is a bribe to children to eat their foods first, and then they get dessert. And every good person knows you should have dessert first, and then you eat the old food that you don't want to eat, you know, beans and carrots and potatoes and meat and stuff like that. You know? But you think I'm joking. And truly, what I'm merely doing, I'm drawing our attention to the fact that it is a bribe. Sweets are a bribe. Now, here, have some candy and shut up, you know. Or here's a little sucker to suck on, keep your mouth shut, you know. And we do these things, and we do these things again and again and again throughout our children's lives, and we wonder why our children have bad teeth, because they have cavities that are caused by something or other. Now, what's all this that's going on? All this that's going on is laziness on our part. We're lazy because it's just easier to put a luchar in a kid's mouth. And then we wonder why the kid doesn't talk very soon, you know. He's always got the lutcher in his mouth. Or he's got the thumb in his mouth. And why do people put their thumbs in their mouth? They put their thumb in their mouth because they don't have a lot to talk about, you know. And they don't know how to express it. Now, you know, look at a kid when he puts his thumb in his mouth or a lutcher in his mouth. First thing he does is he tries to go in himself.
Yeah.
He tries to be introspective. And the introspective through the thumb or the lutcher certainly is not the way to do it. Now, we have carried on the lutcher point of view with dessert. Every meal should have a dessert. Every restaurant serves desserts, and they want you to eat a dessert. But unfortunately, they serve you such a large portion of food, often you don't have room for dessert. And that's wise and good. But the thing is, you could just see the way these things are laid out, the way these things are done. Now, are you a beautiful woman?
Yes.
I doubt that. I doubt that you're a beautiful woman.
I said yes.
Now, just listen to me, not talk to yourself. I doubt that you're a beautiful woman. Because do you always wear your prettiest clothes that show you off to your finest? Do you always wear a lovely shirt, blouse, or dress? Do you always wear a beautiful skirt? Do you always wear your shoes properly? Now, Ingeborg, when she wears her white socks, she looks just fine. When Ingeborg wears her black socks under her white socks to keep her white socks from slipping down into her shoes, that's not too good. Now, you know what people used to do? They used to have garters. You know, that's to hold up the sock.
And what is garter?
A garter. You put it around the top of your calf, and then you pin your socks up to it so that they stay up. You know, and then the same with suspenders. You keep your pants up. You know. Now, if you are a beautiful person, the first thing a beautiful person does, a beautiful person looks at their body and says, I'm gorgeous, or I'm handsome, or I have a beautiful body. I have perfect, you know, weight. I have perfect everything. And I'm perfect fantastic, you know, and I'm gorgeous. And when you look at yourself like that, then you are that way. And so, what happens? But you don't do that. You look at your body and say, oh, I wish I were thinner. I wish I were taller. I wish I were shorter. I wish I were this. And you don't praise what you have. And because you don't praise what you haven't got what you are underneath. You pack on it all the stuff that are not necessary, like all the extra ice cream and all the extra cake and all the extra goodies. Now, I will ask you a question. What is a dessert here on campus often? On campus, a dessert oftentimes are cookies. And so, what do? We put a box of cookies on the table and say, enjoy, which is absolutely stupid because it no longer is a dessert. Now it is another part of the meal. You should have one or two cookies each and put it on each place, and each person has one or two cookies, and perhaps even one is best. And then you enjoy it. Then you will savor it. You won't just pop it in and chop it down and be done with it. You know, like Rex, you give him a cookie. Oh! It's down, you know. But if you crack up the cookie into tiny pieces, he will eat each little piece and say, Rex, you've got 12 cookies, 12 little pieces, you know. And we do that to ourselves. And we wonder why we have figures that are not as charming as we'd like them to be. And then we wear clothes that hide what we look like. We wear our shirts out, you know. We wear blouses that hang down so that we're just one straight line instead of a beautiful figure that we should have. And you say you go into a nudist camp and you look at the people with no clothes on, and their figures are ghastly, you know, they're normal. And then after a while you don't see them anymore. Well, now, this is the same with you. After a while, you don't see how ghastly you look. You don't see how beautiful you could look, you see only how ghastly you do look, and so you accept that as being who you are. Now, it's part of the game of eating with discretion, of thinking with discretion, of acting with discretion. Now, if you wear clothing that you think is comfortable, that's good. Then you're not trying to show off your body. If you wear clothing that you think is attractive, sometimes it shows off your body, and it should. But the thing is, can you not wear comfortable clothing that's attractive too?
Yeah.
Can you not wear comfortable clothing that makes your that shows off your gorgeous body? Now, do you have a gorgeous? Did you hear what I just heard? Do you wear clothing that shows off your gorgeous body?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's got a gorgeous body?
I.
Yeah. Well, don't laugh.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, but you did.
Great how you say it.
But you did. You see, we have the privilege of at all times seeing ourselves with a beautiful body, with a beautiful mind, with a beautiful attitude. And let's start acting like it. Let's start acting like it. I have a dear friend, Bill, and Bill Ellsworth was dying, and his wife was constantly saying to him, you shouldn't eat chocolate cake, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, because, you know, it'll kill you. And that was what he was living for. He had nothing else to live for, just to eat the chocolate cake and to eat things that he liked. So she kept him alive until she died. And then she died, and then there he was, you know, with nobody to tell him that he shouldn't eat it. So he still didn't eat it. Well, he was in the hospital, and he was on his last legs, and he said, I'm going to go. And I said, okay, great. I said, what would you like? He said, oh, I love chocolate cake. I said, just a minute. So I ran across the street to the Albertson store, and I bought a big piece of chocolate cake for him and brought it back with chocolate ice cream on it and everything. And I said to his nurse, I said, can he have this? She says, of course. I mean, there's nothing that can hurt him because he's going to die. No, he plans on it. And so I gave it to him. And he said, wow, great. And his eyes lit up and he was just so happy. It like gave him a new lease to live. And so perhaps because of that chocolate cake, he lived for a few more days.
Yeah.
And, you know, big deal. But the thing is, he had something to live with. That was, you see, now, I said to him, Bill, you're whole and perfect. He said, yeah, I know. And I said, well, why do you want to die then? He said, because I have nothing more to live for. And I said, well, what were you living for in the first place? Were you living for your whole self, your family, your wife, your world? You know, what were you living for? He said, well, I was living for my tractor. And he says, actually, I was living for my Studebaker. He said, I love my Studebaker. He had an old Studebaker in his garage. And he just loved that car. But here he was, getting older. He could still drive. And I said, Bill, you've always wanted a beautiful new pickup. Go buy it. Oh, no, because I'm losing my eyesight, and pretty soon I won't be able to drive. I said, well, as long as you can drive, you'll have it. And then, that's wonderful. You got that beautiful new pickup, which is what you've always wanted, and you finally got it. And, no, I don't want to spend the money that way. It belongs to the church. It belongs to, that's okay, go do it. But, you see, he was so tied into the old attitude that you shouldn't do nice things for yourself. You shouldn't have nice things and that sort of thing. That's what we all do. Now, I think you all should have the most comfortable, beautiful pair of shoes in the world. Not pumps, not high heels, not this, but comfortable shoes. Shoes that really are comfortable and that look good on you. You should all have the most beautiful silk stockings in the world, if that's what pleases you, you know. You should all have, like in Hogan's Heroes, you know, those girls. They're always so gorgeous looking girls, you know, and some little chunky, but that's good. But they all wore beautiful dresses. And the minute they put on an evening dress, they looked like a light flashing. And when they wore their normal clothes, they looked charming, but not quite as beautiful as when they put on their evening dresses. And what happened when they put on their evening dresses? They just sparkled up. They put their necklace on. They put their earrings and they put their bracelets on. They put everything on. And they were just dripping. And then, of course, it's just costume jewelry, but they were very happy with it. It showed them off in a beautiful way. Now, this is what we do. Now, do you want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Then, Ellen?
Yes.
What did you just do?
Yes.
You went with your hands, sort of making this magical look of yourself, of the Terpsichorean body.
Right.
I have the ideal body. Ellen, do that 99% of the time, and maybe even the 100%. But shoop, I'm always Terpsichorean. And what will you be?
Terpsichorean.
You will be that which you visualize yourself to be. And Ellen, as you do that, you will not eat anything that will keep you from being that. You will not drink anything, and you will not do anything that will keep you from it. And instead of taking the truck back and forth, you'll walk. Yeah. And instead of taking the truck to the mailbox, you'll walk to the mailbox.
Oh!
Yeah.
But now I walk.
But that's fine. It's requiring you, and you could look around and see all the new houses in the subdivision area. You know? Maybe even meet a few people along the way. But the thing is, how wonderful. And then it says, but what if there's heavy mail? Well, you have a little satchel you carry over your shoulder to stick the mail in. You know, one of these, what do you call it? No, they don't have a shoulder piece. Well, we have shoulder bags, you know.
Backpack.
Yeah, something like that. And carry that along and throw your mail in there. And no matter how much you got, it's no problem.
Yeah.
But the thing is, treat yourself with joy. What makes a gazelle a gazelle?
Jumping.
That's what makes a gazelle a gazelle. He's always out leaping and jumping and having fun. His body is graceful and dramatic and dynamic. And when a gazelle gets old, then they get fat, you know? And why do they get fat? Because they're not doing their normal routine. And you too, Ellen,
mm-hmm.
Do you ever get old?
No.
Then you should never get fat.
No.
No. And you should be jumping like a gazelle all
right.
the time.
Right.
But you see, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Now, are you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. If you're ready for it, just remember, when you were a baby, they took away your purpose of, in your body, creating all of the things necessary for a healthy body. And they started putting it in from the outside, vitamins and minerals and all that sort of stuff. And they started feeding you from the outside and doing all these things from the outside. Isn't it interesting how in an egg, in a tiny little egg, let's say a chicken's egg, in a chicken's egg, out of that can come that little chick, and that little chick becomes, you know, totally changed, like the cocoon, out comes a butterfly. And so here comes this little bird, and it pecks its way out, and he only had the albumen in there, only the yolk and so forth, to build his own body and to build his own structure out of. And he comes out a healthy, dynamic, forceful, living being. And then he lives his life. And he goes around, and you say he picks up stones and eats them. That's just to help him digest his food. You know, that's just part of his digestive system. But he eats whatever he eats now. And he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And next thing you know, he's laying eggs. She's laying eggs. Beautiful thing. But you see, if we really could follow the way our animals live, and what do the scientists tell us? That mice who are given a near, not starvation, but a near starvation diet, live longer and healthier than any other mouse. In fact, many lifetimes longer. Now, that should tell us something, if we're willing to listen. Now, when we serve hors d'oeuvres, they should be eaten 1, 2, or 3, not 10, 12, and 20. When we are served candy, we should be served 1 piece or 2, not the whole box. When we are served ketchup, we should put just a little bit of the condiment on our plate for whatever. Or if we have a sauce, it's just a little bit. It's not the whole bowl full like you're eating a bowl of soup. But you see, these are things we have to teach ourselves, and we don't do it. We don't do it. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Now, you all have been very discourteous to me, and I should tell you what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been very discourteous to me. I ask for some peanuts, unshelled peanuts. So you give me a cereal bowl full of unshelled peanuts. Instead of giving me a little tiny bowl of unshelled peanuts, you know, maybe 10 or 20 of them in there,
okay,
and a cereal bowl to put the shells in. But just a little bit. And when I say to you, Emily Post says, you serve a glass of white wine when you serve it, and you serve 3/4 of a glass of red wine when you serve it. And that's not a glass, but it is the wine glass. And what you do, you like to give me a full glass of wine. And I always prefer the half a glass. And I always prefer to stop there if I'm going to have even that, which I don't drink very often. And you with your hearts want to be so abundant, and you want to have me have everything that could be possibly nice in my life, and that's wonderful of you. But that's like with a child. You destroy their ability to make their minerals and vitamins naturally in their body. And you make me say, I want 2 pieces of cake, you know, 2 big pieces of chocolate cake, not the little slices that you have, you know. And, you know, you have said, I want just a small slice. Well, have you ever asked if I wanted a small slice? No, Herb always eats a big slice. You know, that's because that's what I've always eaten. And isn't it about time that I sort of readjust my program? I think I'm doing well. I'm getting my weight into shape, and I'm doing all these things that are good. I still have a few more pounds to go, but I'm doing fine. And I'm doing it only because I choose to. Now, we have this condition that we've brought upon ourselves, and this condition can be left away and over if we want it to be. So we will say goodbye and say I love you eternally.